2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. Let me just read that. He says, do thy diligence. Here the apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, and as we think about some of the things that I was just talking to you about, I want to encourage us today, as I'm encouraged by this word, that in these last days, we got to realize some people will desert us, but don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. It's amazing the number of churches that are closing. Some independent Baptist churches are closing. I have friends down in Georgia and other places. Their churches are aging. The white hair is there, and the young people are leaving. And you ask the question, why? Why is this happening? It's not because the preacher is not preaching the truth. It's because people don't want to hear it. And they can go to another independent church just down the road that has exciting music and all kinds of exciting programs and all kinds of things going on to get the young people in. And they focus on everything but the word of God. And people come and they do hear a word, but not the word that changes hearts and lives. And so they get involved in it, and then they soak that up, and they're excited about it. One of my friends, we were talking, and he was saying, you know, one of the young men that was there, was when I was doing the team ministry, he said that he's now in a rock band. His grandfather's a preacher, and he grew up in the church, and now he's in a rock band. And this is a pastor saying, and his own daughter was saying, you know, I just want to encourage him. And he asked his daughter, he says, well, would you encourage my grandson, your child, if he went into a rock band? She said, well, no. He said, then why would you encourage that? He said, now they're in an independent Baptist church, but they're not focusing on the word. Therefore, they would allow something to be okay for somebody else that's not okay with the word and not okay with them because they want to encourage them. Why in the world would you want to encourage somebody to sin?
Amen.
Listen, when I got saved, I was singing in groups, sang in several groups. You know, we had the tuxedos on and all the things, and we had all the moves and all of that. And my wife was always right there. She said, one of the problems with groups is that you get the women, they're always talking, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, my wife said, and none of that happened. So whatever we sang, she was sitting right there in the corner. And when the guys were looking around, I was looking right at her. I wanted to make sure she knew where I was looking, all right? And she was right on the front row all the time. And praise God, you know, this a week ago, maybe a little more than that, my wife and I celebrated 50 years of marriage. And I know you. I was so young when she married me. What can I say? But anyway, we made a decision. Even when I was not saved, my wife was saved, and she thought I was. She never asked me. Listen. I don't see the little ones in here, but let me tell you something. You better ask. You better ask. She never asked me. Now, her grandfather saw through me like a sheet of paper. And the first time he met me, he witnessed to me. He told me, he says, young man, he says, listen, he said, for 32 years, I lived like the devil. He said, I did everything the devil had for me to do. He said, and at 32 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He said, I want to do everything that God has for me to do. He said, and what about you? I said, what do you mean about me? I said, my daddy's a preacher. He said, I didn't ask you what your daddy did. He said, I'm asking you about you. And boy, she walked through the door right then. I was so glad to see her. She's coming from high school. That was back when you dressed nice to go see a girl. You know, your clothes were clean. Boy, if I'd have gone in there, her grandfather, the shotgun that he had, he'd have run me out of there with if I'd gone with my pants down and what's up, Dad? You know what I mean? Get out of my house, boy. What's wrong with you? Get on out of here. But we made a decision that would be one thing that would never, ever be a part of our conversation. And I made this decision without knowing Christ as my Lord and Savior, but having the character, godly character instilled in me by my father. Listen, instill godly character in your kids. Amen. 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 And my dad told me, he said, son, he says, treat every woman like you want me to treat your mother. And he knew I loved my mother. And so I told her, I said, one of the things that will never be a part of our vocabulary is the word divorce. Amen. We're not going to talk about it. That's a quitting word. And a lot of times as men of God and sometimes wives of preachers, we'll use the quitting word. It's time for us to move on. Well, why are we going to move on? Well, people have forsaken. The Apostle Paul says some have forsaken, did he not? He couldn't quit, even though some have forsaken, even though people quit on us, even though they go down the direction, we can't quit. Some have forsaken us. And what's so hurting is that those who have come with you, who have walked with you, and then decide they don't want to go anymore, that hurts more than somebody who just says, I don't want to know.
That's right.
Because you've invested in them. He says in verse 9, he said, do thy diligence to come. He said, shortly to bring. He said, for Demas have forsaken me. Demas had been with him, and now he has forsaken me. And oftentimes, you are so hurt when somebody quits on you, you say, well, what's the use? I've invested in them. I've given them my love. But I want you to understand this truth. If you love people, often they will let you down. But you got to ask yourself, why do I love them? Why do I love him? What's my reason? Why is it that I'm doing this? My grandson, he's 5 years old, and he'll come in, and I told him, I said, listen, I said, when you don't act right, I said, you don't get anything from Papa. I don't get you nothing special. He'll come in, he said, Papa, I've been good. I said, and that means what? He said, something special. I said, go play, boy. He has a reason, you understand? He has a reason behind it. And oftentimes, when things fail, we have this idea, well, I'm doing this because of me, but listen, we need to get the eyes off of us, and we've heard it said already, it's not about us, it's about the Lord. Why do you love because God loved me? Why do you reach out because God loved me? Why do you invest yourself in people because God has invested in me?
Amen.
And I'm investing in them. It's been a pretty busy week. We had a week down in the Outer Banks, and Brother Greg's been down there. He gave me a few pointers. His fishing pointers didn't help me none, didn't catch a thing. But we enjoyed the time away, and we had some friends that were down there at the same time with us, and we had our grandkids with us, and they said, we'll watch the grandkids while you guys just go out and do whatever you want to do. And so they did that, and that was very enjoyable, and we just really enjoyed the time away. I was telling somebody, I really let my mind go. When I came back, I couldn't even find the keys to the church. I had to get somebody to let me in the church. They said, Pastor, you really went out, didn't you? Yeah, I did. But anyway, anyway, we I was at the rescue mission on Tuesday night. And the rescue mission, you never know what you're going to get at the rescue mission. I mean, one time I was preaching at the rescue mission, and I was talking about the word of God, and a lady sitting on the front, she said, it's just a book laid down and somebody wrote on it. Out like that. I said, praise God it is. I said, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they wrote on it, hallelujah. And then she looked down. Yeah, I said, you don't mess with me. Another lady come up one time, she went over and she said, I don't believe nothing you said. Yeah, I don't believe nothing you said. You know, I took my Bible. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. She said, you can't rebuke me. I said, I just did. And I went right by. I got real close to her. I went right to where she was sitting. I got close so nobody could hear her. I said, did I do something to offend you? She said, well, no. I said, did the word not offend you? She said, well, I just happened to be in there. I said, that ain't my problem. I wanted her to stay. They took her out. I wanted her to hear the word. But the Lord blesses, and sometimes you are encouraged by those things where somebody else has discouraged you. You are encouraged, but no matter what, you don't quit. You stay firm. A young man was at church on Easter Sunday. He had texted me and said, he said, Pastor, he'd been gone for over a year. The reason why he left our church, he was singing in the choir, and I told him right up in front, he got saved in my house. Him and his, I don't know about his wife, but she said she was already saved. I'm not sure about it. Because after he got saved and I started discipling him, then she decided she wanted a divorce. And my wife talked to her. My wife told me, she says, she's been thinking this a long time, and she's made up her mind. She had made up her mind. When folks make up their mind, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Outside of the moving of the Holy Spirit, they're not going to change. And she made up her mind. He couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand it. And he told me, I said, I told him up front, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm having nobody in the choir. I'm having nobody in the church who's living ungodly. I said, if I find out about it, I said, I'm going to deal with it. And I'm going to deal with it quickly. And I'm going to put you out of here. And that's the way it's going to be. And he knew that. And he was absent. I said, where have you been? He told me up front. He said, Pastor, I've been fornicating. I said, you got to come down, buddy. He said, I know. And I said, we got to do some business here. He said, I know. And he said, I want to get right. But he really didn't want to get right. I loved him like a son. And he just left. Just left. Called him. Moved out, couldn't find where he is. The guys went after him. Listen, I tell my guys, go after him. He got mad at them. And they said, Pastor, he's getting mad at us. I said, well, just back off. Anyway, it's been a year, and he talked to one of the guys and told him, he says, I'm coming back. He said, I just messed up leaving my church. And one of the guys came, he's pastor, he said, I'm so excited. I said, about what? He said, I can't tell you. He said, I don't want to tell you. I said, well, okay. And then I get a text on Sunday morning from him. Said, Pastor, I got to go get my kids. He said, but I'm telling you, I made a mistake in leaving my church. He said, I've been miserable ever since. He said, can I come back to church? He said, I know I got to talk with you. He said, I know we got to go through something. I said, brother, we never stop loving you. I said, you are welcome. And he came Easter Sunday. His wife moved somewhere else and he had his kids. And he came Easter Sunday and he came and put his arms around me. And we just hugged. And every man in the church. Every man in the church. When he put the arms around him, he said, where you been? We miss you. Amen. We love you. Hell up church. Messing up our fellowship. Now I got to preach. What's wrong with you? Demas laughing. But you can't quit. Amen. You can't quit. There will be many who forsake you. You find old Demas is mentioned in other places, Colossians 4 and 14 and Philemon 24. It talks about people who are following who quit. There will be people who will quit. They'll just stop. And you will be hurt. That's just the way that it is. Amen. It's going to hurt. But you cannot quit. The next thing as we move on, we see that not only could he not quit, but he could not quit even if some did him evil. Couldn't quit for folks doing wrong. I got a good friend. He went into mission ministry because his wife was always complaining. He said she was coming in all the time. He's down in South Carolina. If I mentioned, he might know his name. But anyway, he said she's always saying, "Do they love me? Did you see the way they looked at me? Do you think that we should be here? Do you think that?" And my wife says, "Honey, what is your problem?" Anyway, he said, "I just had to do something else, you know." My wife is the sweetest person in the world, but buddy, you don't want to mess with her. She'll get you straight right off. She told the women in our church, she said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, my husband is a man like any other man. She said, if you come up here with them short dresses on, she said, I'm going to move you. And guess what? We didn't have no short dress ladies in our church. Yeah. She said, you're going to move. She said, prop yourself up on the front row like you somebody. She said, you're going to be somebody dressed like somebody, you know. She said it nicer than that, I'm sure. But anyway, but you need a wife who's in there for you, man. You need your wife to do some things. But sometimes people will be evil and they'll have bad attitudes. You know, I learned a long time ago, if you're trusting in God, don't worry about folks. That's right. I'm just going to tell you where it is. I understood, number one, they're going to hurt you sometimes. Yes. And sometimes they'll quit on you. But if you're trusting in God, just press on. Listen, sometimes preachers will do that to you. I had a preacher friend. He pastored about 40 miles from me when I was in England. And we had been friends. In fact, when I was in the military, he had been my pastor. And I did everything I could to support that church. And I mean, the church just exploded with folks, and the ministry was going great. We went from like running 90 people to running 200 to running 300. And God was just blessing. And sometimes he had a tendency to get a big head about it. And I just deflate him a little bit because I was his deacon. That's what a deacon supposed to do, deflate you. Yeah. I said, Pastor, you know I love you, but let me tell you something. God is working here. But anyway, when I got out of the military, I went back to pastor about a little ways from him, and our Lord was blessing our church. But then our base was beginning to close. Our membership was a little over 200, a little under 200, and our base began to close. Our average attendance was 300. It was a church where almost every member was there at every service, and you can ask anybody who's ever been there. Because it was an exciting ministry. All young people, except for me. I was the oldest one there, me and my wife. They were all military, except for two English people, two English families. And that's exciting. You tell a military member what to do, and they said, yes, sir. You tell a civilian member what to do, well, can't somebody else do that? I did it last time, preacher. Why are you picking on me? I know that doesn't happen in your church. Anyway. So one of my members came in, and he said, the base is going to close. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I was going to move. And I called the moving company. I said, listen, I need to know, what does it cost for us to move back to America? I need to get a fix on this, because God had blessed us in the military and moved us as a pastor to England. They moved all my furniture, paid my way, my wife's way to church, didn't have to pay nothing. Boy, that's a great story. But anyway, I said, I don't know. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I'm talking to the moving company, and the Holy Spirit says, so, I brought you all the way to England, and now that the military is gone, you're going to go, you said, anywhere in the world. And the guy said, well, Mr. Covington, we can come out. I said, no, thank you very much, and hung up the phone and never looked back. So I said, we got to reach the English. That's the only thing we can do. The Americans are going. But anyway, the devil is always busy. Amen. One of my members came and said, Pastor, I understand you're going to move over and take over the other church. I said, what other church? He said, you're going over the New Testament. The word is that you're going to have that preacher moved out, and you're going to take over. I said, what in the world is this? So I called my brother in the Lord up, and I said, hey, brother. I said, one of the men just told me something. He said, brother, you need to stay out of other people's business. It's not right for you to be in another church's business. I said, excuse me. I said, listen, I want a meeting with you and your wife and anybody else who's involved in this. You give me a date. I said, and he told me, what somebody had said. I said, he was a sergeant when he retired, and I was a major. I said, this is what I want. I said, I want a deacon that's on your side. I want a deacon that's on that other person's side. And he said, okay. And we had a meeting. And we went to the meeting. I said, you and I have been friends for a long time, so we need to get this straight. Before anything else could be said, I prayed, and before anything else we said, the lady who had said all these things, she said, Pastor Covington, I need to say something. And her pastor said, well, go ahead. She said, I lied. She said, I lied. She said, Pastor Covington never said any of the things that I said. He never said that. She says, I'm so sorry. She said, will you, she was mad at him. She says, will you forgive me? I said, sister, you're forgiven. And I told him, I said, that's all I come for. I said, now I'm going to pray with you guys, and me and my wife are out of here. This is your business. And I prayed with him, and he did. But afterwards, I had lunch with him, and I asked him this question. I said, let me ask you this. I said, why would you believe a lie about somebody who has loved you all these years and supported you? Why would you do that? Hey, oh, brother, listen. He should have just said, I'm sorry, forgive me. But he tried to explain it away. Listen, I want to tell you something. When people do you evil and you know you're wrong, don't try to explain it away. Just ask for forgiveness and go on. Amen. And just get it together. Just get it right. And so he's talking about these people. They're the kind of folks that don't want to do right and didn't intend to do right. They have forsaken him. Why? Because they like the things of this world. And what he was assuming was, I like the position of, his church is larger than mine. I want the position of a larger church. So I'm going to move over there because I knew his folks. Why? Because we had fellowship. We had close fellowship. All of us did. On 4th of July, all of our churches would come together and we would have fellowship together. Why would you believe something like that? We have to be careful about what we believe about somebody says about another preacher. It's best to go find out for yourself if indeed you need to. My wife said some things you need to just leave alone and leave it in God's hands. He said he has forsaken me and because he loved this present world, and he's departed unto Thessalonica. And he goes on to talk about the others that were there with him. And he's thinking, I'm here all alone. He said, only Luke is here with me, of persons there. He said, bring Mark. Remember, Mark had to go, but now Mark's good for me. Bring Mark on back. That's getting a relationship back, isn't it? Somebody who's growing a little bit, a young person who's growing a little bit, and now he's ready to serve the Lord. A man who's preaching down in Tennessee now, he was a fireball, in-your-face witness, and he was always wanting to run everything. And I told him, son, you're not going to run everything. I said, I am the pastor, and I don't need to repeat that. And he just backed off. And I took him out with me on soul winning one time. And he was a big follower of some of the things that Hiles Anderson said, but he wouldn't do good at it. But anyway, we out witnessing and we encountered something he had never encountered before. I encountered a man, I felt in all my heart, this man was possessed of the devil. I really did. This is when we're in England. And they do witchcraft over there. Witchcraft is prominent. A village down the road from us, I was talking to another British pastor. I said, you know, we were outreaching in that village. And I said, there's a different spirit in the village. He said, oh, don't you know? He said, there's a cavern down there, a witch cavern. I said, okay, now I know how to pray. I'm not running, we're going. And we recounted this man, I'm thinking he's going to be my prayer partner. He's always in people's face. And this guy is there, and I discerned, so I backed away from the man. And I asked him, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, it's appointed unto the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. I said, no, the judgment is waiting for you. And I give him a track. And I backed up. I thought I was going to step on him. He's behind me. I said, sorry, Brother Greg. I said, Greg? That was his name. I said, where were you? He said, Pastor, I've never encountered anything like this. I said, so you learned something. I said, sometimes you need to know just to back away. Because if God's not going to do anything, if the Holy Spirit's not going to work, your talking's not going to make any difference. But I let him know. I said, listen, we're not standing here alone. There's power going on here. But we need to know that this is a case that maybe we need to fast and pray about this guy because of a bad situation, because his wife was actually leading one of the ladies of our church into the wrong direction. I had to take her out of the choir because she's following this woman to the club. She said, oh, Pastor, I'm just singing a little karaoke. I said, no, sister, you're not going to sing for God on Sunday and go up in the club with a bunch of young men, two married women with a bunch of young men. I said, it's ungodly. It's not happening. The word that's used here is one that is a defense attorney, one who's helping you in your defense. No man stands with you. Brother Sam had preached and has been spoken here this morning on the men's fellowship meeting, how what a blessing it is to have brothers together, have pastors loving each other and watching over and praying for one another. And Brother Joe Peter says that what he wants to do, he wants to have the name and address of every pastor that he can get, and he's going to add it to his church's prayer list, that his church is going to be praying for every church in the valley by name, specific praying by name for God to bless. I want you to know, my friends, our church makes that a point to pray for people. We pray for them by name. We have churches listed that we pray for, missionaries listed that we pray for, and we pray for the specific needs that are there. When we hear about a pastor who has a wife who's sick, or he's sick, or a family problem, whatever it is going on, we pray that God will give the victory. Why? Because we need to pray for one another. I want to see this valley revived. How about you? To see people come to know the Lord. You know, I have a difficulty that you might not have. Most of the people we talk to think they're already saved. Because black folks are religious, if nothing else. They can be religious with a fifth in one hand and a drug thing in the other hand. But I go to church, preacher. Well, what in the world does that mean? Sitting next to a man, and I was talking to him at the gas station, at the loop thing. I have track talking to him. His granddaughter was sitting across from him, and I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you would die today, are you certain where would be your destiny? Would it be heaven or hell? He said, it would be hell. I said, really? I said, you know, that doesn't have to be. I said, there is a way that you don't end up in hell. And I began to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, well, the Lord knows my heart. I said, yes, he really does. And he knows your heart's not right. That's what he knows. I said, he knows your heart better than you do. I said, because you're sitting here telling me that you know your destiny is hell, but you're going to bank on the Lord knowing your heart. I said, that don't mean nothing when you stand before the Lord, because he does know your heart. I said, you need to get your heart right with God. You need to trust him as your Lord and Savior. He said, I'll think about it. That's as much as I can get out of it. Sometimes you say, Lord, I'm trying here, but nobody's listening. I'm interested in Brother Greg's outreach. I've tried just about everything we can. We put out 4,000 John and Romans, distribute them. It costs a lot of money to do that. We got a lot of people saying thank you, but nobody came as a result of it. We have the radio broadcast. That's an expense. We've had people to stop by. One lady stopped by. She said, you wonder why an old lady is stopping by and already been in the church a long time. I said, no, ma'am, you told me. You like the preaching. You like what you heard. And she said, I really like what I hear, but I really need to stay at my church. Another lady called me. She says, I heard what you said. I listened to you on the radio. She said, I need to find another church. She said, I believe that your church, and I hear what you're saying on the Word of God, about the Word of God, and I think your church is the kind of church you ought to be in. She said, will you come and get me? I said, yes, ma'am. Tell me where you live. She said, I'll call you when I'm ready to come. We got a family that's been visiting our church, and he said, I was driving down the road, and he said, I just turned into the radio station and heard you preaching. He said, boy, this guy sounds like he was in the military. He said, I want to drop by. Now, that family has been coming. They haven't joined with us, but they have been coming. But I want you to know you do all these things. And you say, Lord, what else do I need to do? People will come, and we don't have, those of you who've never been to our church, we don't have we don't have it. There you go. He's got it. He's all right. it's not happening. And they look at a hymn book like they're looking at a what do they say about a cow looking at a newborn? They look at him, what's this? I know they can read, but they put the book down. We've had them leave after two hymns. Didn't they? And my brother told me, well, at least you know it wasn't your preaching. One of my members, we had some people come. My member said, Pastor, I'm surprised they even came. They said, they're used to a high-impact church. We're not high-impact. Now, our music may be a little bit more upbeat than yours, but it's all godly, I'm going to tell you that. I don't believe in singing. Listen, when I sing for the world, I sing for the world. I'm not going to use worldly methods for God. If I'm going to sing about God, I'm going to use his name. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to sing as though who is he singing to? What's he singing about? I want you to know what I'm singing about. Amen. I want you to know I'm talking about Jesus. I don't want you to think I'm talking about some stranger. I want you to know something. Even though nobody will stand with me, it's okay. I'm going to go the way God directs me to go. I try to become a member of the local African-American Pastors Association in Roanoke, Virginia. And they said to me, well, brother, what do you believe? I said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I believe in salvation by grace. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that there are only two ordinances in the church. I believe you must be born again. I don't believe in women preachers. And I don't believe in having choir members who are other members of other things doing other things when they shouldn't be doing none of those things. If you understand the kind of things I'm talking about. And they said, well, I met with a little group. Gave them my credentials. And they said, well, tell us about this women preachers. And when they asked me that question, I knew there was a conflict going on with them. It had nothing to do with me. And then I said, let me just explain to you something, fellas. I said, I'm responsible for the Victory Independent Baptist Church. I said, if something is going on in our community that affects our community, I said, I'll talk to you about that, like the drug center they put over there. And I said, well, I can get on board with that sort of thing. I said, but your church is your church. I'm not going to tell you who to preach at your church. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this. I don't expect you to invite me, and I'm not going to invite you. And he said, well, I thought you independents just stayed separated from everybody. I said, once I get to know you, I'll find out if I am or not. He said, well, we'll get back with you. How long have I been here? 11 years? I've been here 11 years. They haven't got back with me yet. I'm still waiting on them to get back with me. I had an elder preacher in Roanoke. I was over at K&W, and he grabbed me by the arm. He said, "Preacher boy, come here." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "Don't you worry about these preachers in Roanoke." Now, he wasn't not talking about none of you all. He said, "They're intimidated by you." I said, "Me? What did I have, 30 members in?" I said, "Why, me?" He said, "Here's the deal. It has nothing to do with the members that you have." He said, "It has to do with the stand you take." He said, "And don't you worry about none of them." He said, "You're doing what they know they ought to be doing." He said, "And you just keep on doing it." He said, "Now go on your way. That's all I got to say to you." I said, "Yes, sir." So I'm not very popular among the fellows in the community. I'm just going to tell you the way that it is. But I'm not bothered about that. You say, "Well, don't you have any friends?" Sure I do. I have a lot of friends. A lot of friends. God provides for you friends. Because I do show myself to be friendly. But I want you to know, I'm not going to quit because somebody says, "I don't want to have anything to do with Covington." I'm not going to quit because I'm not in the club. I'm not going to quit because I'm not with the group. I'm not going to quit because they don't have me in there, this, that, and the other. I'm not going to quit because I'm not popular. I'm not going to quit because I don't have a great number of people. I'm not going to quit because of any of that, because God is with me.
Amen.
That's the last he said, isn't it? Last day some will desert, but don't quit. Don't quit. Go on down. I'm going to quit because my time is done. But verse 17, he said, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." And I can stand with any of those fellows, and I can tell any of those fellows what God has done, not me, what God has done. I can show them how God provided when we didn't have the money to put in a new unit. We were paying over $1,500 a month for gas because of an old boiler. I can show them how God provided a church who didn't know us from anybody, but wanted to help a church in Roanoke and put in touch with us. I can tell them about a man that I've never seen before and never seen since, who came to a Wednesday night service and we were cold. And I apologized for it because the heat went out. He said, "Brother," he said, "listen, Pastor," he said, "I'm going to give you $1,000. He said, "You'll have $1,000 by Wednesday night for your heat." Never seen that guy. I said, "Oh, well, thank you, brother." He said, "No, you're going to have $1,000. By the next Wednesday night, we had $1,000, a check for $1,000. And when the church came, they said, "Brother Covington, what can we do to help you?" I said, "Brother, we need all kind of help." I said, "The roofs are leaking. We got water coming in. Is it going to leak? It's going to leak. We got doggy things up there. You know, things, them divers on dogs. We got them on the roof to catch the leak so they won't mess up the floor." I said, "We need all of these things done." He said, "Well, brother, we can't do the roof." He said, "But we can do your air conditioning heating unit." Well, that's $1,500 we can do something else with. And I said, "Brother, whatever you can do." He said, "Can the church provide anything?" I said, "Yeah, we got $1,000. And they put those brand new units in our church.
Amen.
Brand new units. That all we had was $500 that we put into it. You say, how did that happen? Supernatural blessings.
Amen.
Did folks leave? Yep, had some to go. Did some do evil? Yeah, they did. Did some decide they don't want to stand with you? Yeah. That's just the way that it is.
That's right.
But you can't quit.